1 Corinthians in chapter 10, we're going to read again verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. I want to ask you to imagine that you're responsible for speaking to soldiers who are going out into the battlefield. They're going into enemy territory. And they're going to be exposed, and they're going to be vulnerable. And they're going to be far from all the support and assistance that they would ordinarily have. And what is it you're going to say to them? You're maybe going to tell them what their objective is. But surely, one of the big things you're going to say is this. It's be on your guard. You're in enemy territory. You have to be careful at every turn. Don't make assumptions. Don't relax. Don't be off guard. That's advice that you would give to soldiers going into enemy territory. What advice ought you give to yourself as you live your Christian life in this fallen world? Should it not be something similar? Why is it that so often the Lord's people are forgetful to be on guard? Why is it that we are so often surprised when we find ourselves under siege, when we find trouble all around? Sometimes, isn't it true, you're all but swept away by sin? And it shocks you. Temptation comes and it surprises you. You know, friends, if you're not prepared, you will be doubly vulnerable. If you're not prepared, if you're not on guard, if you don't anticipate and therefore prepare to deal with troubles when the troubles come, it's far harder to stand. If you delude yourself into thinking, well, all will be easy, I can relax and take it easy, then you're asking for real trouble, aren't you? The apostle's writing to the church in Corinth. And he says, there is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. He identifies a great problem. And that is the problem of temptation. And what is temptation? Temptation means to be attracted to be allured by, to be induced towards something which of itself is not right. Now sometimes we use temptation in terms of things which are good. You're tempted to have more cake. Cake is good. But that's a figure of speech. And it's using the common experience of temptation to describe how you're drawn to that particular thing. But temptation is the attraction to, the allurement by, the inducement toward what of itself is not good. And what we're being told here is, you will be tempted. Temptation is real. And it's something you need to be aware of. So that it's something that you're on your guard against. So that when temptation comes, you don't crumple and fall, but rather you resist it. You withstand it. You overcome it. There is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. When he says that the temptations which come are common to man means it's true for every one of us. But we could also say in terms of the word common, it's something which happens often. So the temptations which come happen often, and they happen often to every one of us. Now I know there may be differences in a particular temptation. But yet, what we're told here is that these temptations are of the same essence. There may be differences, but they are of the same essence. You all eat the same meals, don't you? You have breakfast, and you have lunch, and you have dinner, and perhaps you have supper. Now there may be some variation in what you have for your breakfast, and some variation in what you have for your lunch. But you eat the same meals. What is the essence of temptation? Surely at the heart of temptation we find pride. Or the satisfying of physical appetites. Ease. Greed. To diminish others. To make yourself the hero, or sometimes to make yourself the victim. To be the master and not the servant. Now there may be subtleties in your own particular experience. But when you think about temptation, if you scratch a little, if you consider what's at the heart of it, it's some of these things, isn't it? Pride. To satisfy physical appetites, ease, greed, to diminish others, to make yourself the hero, or perhaps even to make yourself the victim, to feel sorry for yourself, to make yourself the master and not the servant. Well, this is the great problem, and it's the great problem which confronts every single one of you. It's a great problem which confronts every single one of us. First Peter chapter 1 verse 6. Writing to the church, Peter says, "Ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations." And it's important to emphasize this is the common experience of all, because so often you do not see it in others. Now I know there are some individuals, and it's so obvious what they're struggling with. There are some people who are so obviously in a mess and tied in knots. I know that. But there are also many. And you don't see what's going on in the heart. And you don't know what's troubling them at night. And you don't know what battles they have. And they present themselves well. They conduct themselves well. They live well. They're productive. And you're intimidated. Because you don't feel like that. You're conscious of your own particular battles and troubles. And you start to think it must just be me. You come to church and everyone's doing well. You hear men lead in prayer and you say, I could never do that. You hear those who stand up to present, you say, I could never do that. You hear someone preach and you say, I could never do that. Someone else speaks about the scriptures and you're intimidated by their understanding and you're conscious of your own forgetfulness. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. There's a danger when you do not see this in someone else, that you begin to feel isolated and maybe even resentful. Perhaps you begin to compose your own sympathetic narrative, one which makes exceptions and allowances for you because of your circumstances, because it's only you and you're in a corner and no one else bears these burdens, no one else faces these troubles or trials. Do you know that train of thought? It's only me, poor me. And that train of thought, it draws along certain carriages, doesn't it? And it leads to trouble. And that's why the apostle tells you, it is not only you, but in fact, it is true for us all. You're not to write in exceptions. You're not to make allowances for yourself. This is a great problem. Why is temptation a problem to each one? Why is it a problem to you and to all of you? Well, in part, it's because of the deceitfulness of the heart, isn't it? You know how Jeremiah describes it. He says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? How easy it is to feel outrage and yet at the same time to rationalize and excuse yourself. Have you ever taken time to think, when you hear horrendous crimes committed, how it is that somebody may rationalise to the point where they feel justified and entitled and act in such a horrible way? Have you never taken time to realise that you're inclined to do the very same thing? You find an angle to see something. You cast what someone else has done in a particular light. The deceitfulness of the heart to accommodate, to mitigate, to justify, or even to reward. It's not strange that sometimes because by God's grace you've been able to overcome for a time, you somehow feel entitled to reward yourself by doing the very thing you've been trying to resist doing. The deceitfulness of the heart. When you behave in the same way as you've only ever behaved and expect somehow to find a different outcome. But not only is it the deceitfulness of the heart, there's the ongoing appeal of sin because of ongoing corruption. Now I know that if you're in Christ, you are a new creation. You've been made new, you've given a new heart and a new mind. And yet the scripture also tells us that though we be in Christ and though we be a new creature, that yet there is remaining corruption. There is an old way of life that needs to be battled against, an old way of thinking, an old way of doing. There are still ambitions and appetites that need to be suppressed. They need to be put to death. You know that craving for experience because of the difficulty of faith. What is faith? Faith is surely a waiting for, a trusting in, a believing in the promise. And sometimes you just want to feel. You just want that experience. And so rather than resist and wait and struggle with that, Or maybe it's that feeling of being defiled. Because temptation can be traumatic, can't it? Because sometimes in your mind, you're taken to particular places. And there's a vividness in that, which terrifies you. And there's a sense in by which you feel defiled even by the temptation. So much so that having been defiled, why now resist? Why continue that battle when it's so distressing and so ugly? Maybe even there's an anger in the midst of that, that the Lord has left you exposed. Has put you through that. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. This is a great, great problem. There's also just a habit of succumbing, of giving in. When you're not familiar with resisting temptation, but just simply following along submissively. Perhaps that's what others expect of you. Perhaps they write you off in that way. You don't even know how else you can be. Perhaps there's even a distorted view of what Christian maturity is. As a mature Christian, you see, I can look at that. As a mature Christian, I can speak about that. As a mature Christian, I can do a little of that. There is no temptation taking you but such that is common to man. That's a great problem. But hear this, friends. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, and will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Did you get that? There's a great problem, but here is a great promise, which is you will not be confronted by any temptation, but that you will be able by God's grace to endure that. And there will be a way of escape made whereby you may escape that. I suppose the first thing we want to say when we think about the great promise is this. You're not alone. Not alone in the sense that it's common to man. That doesn't make it right, of course. And that's not the whole of your comfort, that, to know that others go through the same things. But it's wonderful to come back into the body of the Kirk. It's wonderful not to be isolated and all alone, sitting in a corner. But even more, if there is no temptation taking you such that is as common to man, then what about this? Jesus Christ, your Saviour, is able to strengthen and to succour you because he himself has suffered being tempted. That's what we're told in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 18. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he's able to succour them that are tempted. Now I know there's no sinful inclination in the heart of our Lord. He's not inclined toward what he was tempted with. But we are told that he endured real temptation. And he knows the ugliness and the sense of violation that temptation brings. In chapter 4 of Hebrews, the apostle goes on, we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And so when we're given this great promise about God being faithful and being able to uphold those who endure temptation and to provide that way of escape for those who are facing temptation, it is one who knows us, who understands, who sympathizes. And that's important to understand. We're not told of the removal of temptation, but rather what we're promised is grace in the face of temptation. And I suspect that you would just like the removal of temptation. That would be the easiest, the most straightforward, wouldn't it? That would be the best outcome. If these things were just taken away, if these appetites were just torn from you. But what we're told is that God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. In the mystery of God's providence, in the wonder of his grace, he moderates the temptation that would otherwise sweep you away. Sometimes around the harbour there is a breakwater. It doesn't mean that there's no waves in the harbour, but it does mean that the big waves are broken and cannot come in and swamp the boats. The waves come crashing, but they're moderated, they're broken. Yes, some of them pass by, but not such that will swamp and sink the boats. God is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. Now that doesn't say beyond that which you feel you are able to endure. That's something different, isn't it? What you feel and what is the reality are sometimes very far apart. The reality is that you feel you cannot endure, and you feel that you're going to be overwhelmed, and you're full of terror. But that's why you need to remember this, and to cast yourself upon him who has promised that he would keep you, that you would overcome. You see, the Lord has promised, but that promise requires your exercising faith. You need to believe, and you need to cast yourself upon him. You need to strengthen your faith by remembering God, by coming to his word and pleading the promises. We're told that there will be a way of escape. But you know, that way of escape may require that you be different from how you now are. If you've ever been on an airplane and you're going on holiday and you're there with all your stuff, where the air stewards, they welcome you on board and then they take you through this talk. They tell you what's going to happen in case there's trouble. And they tell you where the emergency exits are. And nobody pays attention because no one ever thinks the trouble will come to them. But what they say is, if you need to get out the airplane, leave everything behind. All your holiday paraphernalia, all the stuff you carry with you. You need to abandon that and get out. You see, if there's trouble, you're going to leave that airplane different from how you came in. But if you want to survive, that's what you'll do. You'll abandon it all and you'll take the escape exit. And we're told that the Lord will provide a way of escape. But you know, that way of escape requires humility. That the way of escape it requires grace. It requires repentance. It requires sometimes an abandoning of those things that you have hitherto held precious. But if you would escape temptation, if you would avoid sin, sometimes there's things that you must let go. And they might not be things which are wrong in and of themselves, but which may become obstacles, hindrances, inducements to pride, distractions. James says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. See, the temptation doesn't come from God. Don't misunderstand this. The temptation comes because of the response of the remaining corruption in our own hearts. But God will moderate that temptation. In fact, God in his mercy will so work in that temptation that you might be brought to greater dependence upon him. Because that's what's called for here, isn't it? That way of escape, it requires faith, it requires humility, it requires obedience. It requires and it calls for a confidence in the Word of God. So often the devil wins the propaganda war, doesn't he? You won't beat it. You can't break it. That's all you ever were. That's all you'll ever be. And sometimes we say, that's just the way I'm made. I can't do it any other way. But that's not what God says. Sin, friends, is not inevitable. Your sin is not inevitable. You are a sinner. And you will continue sinning until such time as you're taken into glory. I understand that. I think you understand that. But don't ever think that any particular sin is inevitable, that it's written in stone, it's there for you to do. Temptation comes. That's your great problem. But here is this great promise that God is faithful. And so you're never justified. You're never excused in taking that way out. Sin is not inevitable. Maybe you've fallen many times. You've fallen more times than you can remember. You've fallen so often that you expect to just keep falling again and again. Everyone else has maybe written you off. You've kind of written yourself off, really. But understand this. God has not written you off. Isn't that something? God has not written you off, but rather he speaks to you here in his word and he says, look at me, look to me, understand me, hear me, trust me, obey me, and do not sin, but rather walk righteously. Don't give in to these temptations. It's a great problem. But here we have a great promise. And finally we could say, therefore live with great purpose. Live with great purpose. Hear this. Understand this. Grasp this. Begin by his grace to apply this. And so often, I suspect you live under a cloud. Some dull, hazy cloud of guilt and shame and compromise. friends, you're to live obediently. Where there is sin, confess that sin. We're told in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And seeking and finding that cleansing in Christ, live obediently. We're not told it's easy, but we're told it's possible. It's possible not because of your strength, but because of His. Are you scared to choose today to do right before you know the circumstances of your next trial or temptation? Does that kind of induce you to hold back from making a commitment? Because if it comes and it's too big, well, it's better never to have set yourself up. And you just go through it again. But will you not rather hear what the Lord says to you? So that now you will make that commitment. You will resolve through dependence upon God to live for His glory and not to give in, not to go down, not to fail and to fall. Now James says, if you submit yourselves unto God, resist the devil, he will flee from you. Submit yourself unto God, Lord, no longer my way, but your way. Submit yourself unto God means obedience, a commitment to obedience, a resolve to obedience. Resist the devil. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. This is a call for you and for me to live with great purpose. Look for that way of escape. Refuse to be a victim. You know, it's mockery to pray, lead us not into temptation, and to flirt with sin. Switch it off. Put it away. Remove yourself. Go somewhere else. Whatever it takes, cut off your right hand. First Timothy 6, verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 22. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You know, these different references, you know what they all tell us? That running away is not cowardice. Acting decisively is good. Don't wait until you're swept away and feel sorry for yourself. But today, do all that is necessary so you might honour God and plead that promise. Plead that promise. Lord, you are faithful and you will not suffer me to be tempted above that which I am able. But you will with the temptation also give me a way to escape that I might be able to bear it. And therefore, Lord, show me and direct me and open a door and usher me through. Plead the promise and act accordingly, because he is able to give grace. And to refuse to do so is to embrace unbelief. There is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. A great problem, but there's a great promise. A great promise. And therefore, live with great purpose. And you'll be able to sing his praise for all eternity. It's not wonderful. These battles are today. But today has passed so quickly, hasn't it? Today has gone so quickly. Today is all but done. It's one day at a time. One moment at a time. Don't tie yourself in knots by worrying about tomorrow. But be faithful. Be faithful in a detail. Be faithful in a moment. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Amen. Let's pray.